All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again on Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Podcast. So today we're spending some time with Jennifer Manzo. How are you?
Great. How are you, Cliff?
I'm doing just fine. You know, this topic is something that I absolutely love to learn about. So as much as I enjoy the industry, I'm a history nerd. And so I love learning about the history of just anything, but particular like our own industry. And you bring a very unique perspective. And I would love for us to share that with the audience today.
Absolutely. I know that this topic was kind of inspired by you, Clifton, because you came to my class, my homeschool class, and taught about HVAC history, which was
with
amazing.
The refrigerants. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we're kind of, I guess, in the forefront of technology as far as HVAC goes. We've kind of caught up to the rest of the world, or catching up, mm-hmm. I should say.
Catching up. Yeah, that's right.
And I kind of wanted to go back through with you and maybe bring the perspective of women in HVAC. It's much known that we're 2% of the industry and that we're kind of the minority. But I just kind of want to put a spotlight on the fact that women have been in HVAC for literally ever. So if you're okay with that, I'd love to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'd love that, because I think it's something that everyone should be aware of, you know, because we have a very significant growth of women in the trades in general, and I'm excited about it. I love that we're finally getting to that point where we're breaking stereotypes, we're breaking stigmas and norms, and we're looking at an industry kind of like a civilization, right? We're evolving and we're turning into something better. And it's really, it's providing a lot of new benefits and new opportunities within our industry that I think many people have neglected for a long time. So yeah, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, me too. All right. So I think I want to start all the way back in the very beginning, if that's okay mm-hmm. with everybody.
Let's do it.
I mean, we talk about women in HVAC. We even talk about women innovators in HVAC, but we talk about them kind of starting at that like late 1800s hump, right? It's kind of that's the baseline when we talk about women getting into HVAC. And that's how we always think of it, is that's when it started. It's not. So women have been in, I should say, HVAC adjacent mm-hmm. areas since the ancient times. And I'm talking cavemen. Women were running the fires while the men were out providing and protecting. I mean, when we talk about heating and cooling spaces, that's really what we're doing here. And ventilation, when we look at the underground civilization, Derin Kuyu out in Turkey, right? That's a beautiful example. I mean, you fit, you know, 20,000 people in an underground city. And when they did that, they had to have some people, you know, in certain spaces tending fires and making sure ventilation holes didn't close. I mean, this underground city could not have worked without ventilation. I mean, obviously,
yeah, that was the principle behind it.
But if you can't breathe, like that's the number one thing. And so those ventilation holes often were tended by women. Those fires that were keeping all these children warm were tended by women. And so if you look really, you really look far back, I mean, maybe women didn't invent fire. Maybe men did. Maybe they were the first ones to tend it. But women very, very quickly after learned that trade and took it over as their own. And we see even more examples of that further on in the ancient world. When we get more into civilization, we see things like the priestesses of the hearth. And we talk about the priestesses of the hearth in Greek terms typically, but they were also Roman. These women were, I mean, in giant, giant temples. We're talking, you know, temples on a scale that if you haven't seen them, you can't believe how big they are. And they were keeping these places warm. Well, their job as priestesses of the hearth were to keep fires burning for the gods, right? That was that was the basis they should keep these fires going for, but we're talking 24 hours a day in a climate that gets cold at night. So are they only for the gods? Probably not. You don't want to freeze to death while you're out there praying, right? So these women, that was their whole job. They were not to leave the hearth. And on their sleep shifts, which often only came every 24 hours, you would get, you know, a 5-hour break to go sleep. And that's because you were supposed to be laying, you know, your sacrifices to the gods, and you were a servant of the gods. And so you would only sleep 5 hours. You would get something to eat real quick and you'd go right back to that hearth. And you wouldn't leave it. You would stand right there and keep these hearths going. And they use them for all kinds of ceremonies. They use these fires for obviously heat. They use them for all kinds of different reasons. But the same women were the same people tending those fires 24 hours a day, no matter what. And they're often forgot about in terms of textbook history. When we talk, you know, to children, they've never heard of the priestesses right. of the hearth, but they've also never heard of even further women in HVAC situations. Alice Parker, they don't know who that is, you know? So we're going to get into that a little bit, but I just want to start in the ancient world. But then we have women in African tribe, women all over Mesopotamia that are tending house fires, keeping their homes warm, cooking for their children. Women in Egypt would actually use, what are they called? Something pots. I have them in my presentation here. Man, I hate when that happens. It'll come to me. Anyway, mm-hmm. they use these pots and they would have an inner circle pot and an outer circle pot made of terracotta or clay. And the outer circle would hold salt, right? And that mm-hmm. salt is a great way to keep things cold. And the inner circle would keep their food, their vegetables. And they would take these pots and they would pile them in front of the hottest where the sun was hitting on their hot, you know, they would pile them in front of that wall. Sure. And those pots would keep their homes warm. And these women would just, you know, take the food out of the pots, put more food in them. And they would just tend these cooling systems forever and always until they got old and gray, right? So though it was harder work, and we don't tend to think of that as HVACR, right? Right there, we have refrigeration, we have cooling, we have heating, we have all of these different aspects, and ventilation as well. If you cook in your hut and you don't have a ventilation system, you're probably not going to be very comfortable in there or be able to breathe. So very important. As we get even further on, we get into the Middle Ages, which is really, really fun when it comes to women in HVAC. So they're castles, right? Just for a basis of what we should start with, castles, I would consider a commercial entity, not necessarily a residential, even though, you know, most rooms in castles, if you haven't been in one, they're the size of most of our homes now. So these are the spaces they're trying to keep warm. They're made of concrete. They're made of rock. They're not ventilated well. They don't have much solar infiltration. So they're trying to keep these spaces warm. That was done by the women. The women were the ones that tended the fires. They were the ones that cleaned the chimneys. A lot of tragedy struck because of this. These women weren't trained in any way to deal with a massive fire in a stone building. And so what would happen is, you know, that creosote, that soot from burning so much wood or coal would fall right back down the chimney. It would kill servants. Female servants have, you know, death certificates that say that say that they died because creosote fell on their head when they were tending a fire.
No kidding.
It's documented. Yeah. The earliest one that I found today when I was looking was from 1100. So year 1100, this was happening.
Fascinating.
Yes. And then even going more forward than that, outside of castles, if we get into, I mean, even still in castles, if we get into kind of the Renaissance, right? Mm-hmm. There were, at that point, we were bringing in ice and snow to cool banquet halls. Catherine de Medici, she was known for that. She was absolutely known for, she would beat the crap out of a servant who didn't bring enough ice to her banquet hall because it had to be perfect. The Medicis were known for just being absolutely brutal to their servantry, but also for innovation. She would say, figure it out, and a servant would go and figure it out. I mean, you didn't say no to Catherine, right? So there's tons of different women in the Renaissance times that were known for just overseeing, you know, kind of the HVAC of their dwelling or even their whole kingdom, which is pretty awesome. And then if we talk, you know, going forward, we have obviously the godfather, right? The godfather of refrigeration, Mr. John Gorey. Well, lots and lots of John Gorey's friends in the scientific community, the people who actually believed in his craziness, so to speak, were women. They were women. They said, okay, John, maybe this part of, you know, your craziness right now doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but maybe if we change it and make it look like this, it will make a lot more sense. And he's known for crediting them. He's known for saying that only women would believe him, that this could be done correctly. And that, I mean, is a stab at us, of course. It's just to say, you know, of the times, people thought women were crazy if they were any type of progression. But John Gorey was crazy, and look what he did for us. So it's pretty great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. That's a lot. That's like a jumpstart into history, like of women in HVAC.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't have one without the other, I guess is the thing. And I'm a huge history buff too, Clifton, as you know, I'm a history teacher. It's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I think when I first got into HVAC, what kind of made me fall in love with it was the history of it, was the fact that so many people have to be so innovative and have to, you know, really dig into STEM and mathematics and science and all these things. And they have to make it work, because if it doesn't, we won't have what we have today. Medicine is so important in HVACR, right?
Yep.
And absolutely. Critical. There are so many, I mean, going back, if we really look, I'm sure we can find thousands of situations where people tried to keep herbs cool, right? Yep. But Hildegard of Bingen, she was born in 1098 and she lived until 1179. But she was an early German woman who wrote initially about medicinal heating and cooling for food, herbs, disease, even disease treatment, right? So disease spreads, and we know this from John Gorey, disease spreads if it gets hot. Most of the time, that's the best way for it to spread. So if we don't allow it to, as they would say back then, fester, and we can keep it cool, there's a lot more time to treat it, right? And so she did a lot of research on that. And she ended up, I just thought this was cool, because she ended up being recognized as Saint Hildegard von Bingen. And I think that's awesome to saint somebody who in those times probably was frowned upon for her research, you know?
A scientist of the time.
Yeah. And in Moorish Spain, the other one I wanted to get into was kind of outdoor ventilation. So we don't think about this a lot in terms of HVAC, but it happens in a lot of spaces throughout the world. So in Moorish Spain, in the Middle Ages, the women of wealthy households would manage cuanats. And what cuanats are is underground water channels. So these water channels would run cool water through them, and then wind towers would work with them in order to keep that breeze, I guess, that they're creating down towards the bottom of the courtyard. So these courtyards, you would walk into them from the street and you would be noticeably cooler. They would literally just whisk that heat away from you. And I just thought that was such a really cool little thing. And then obviously we have Emily du Châtelet, and she was in France in the 1700s. She translated Newton and she studied heat, energy, and motion, foundational physics, right? That eventually fed into thermodynamics, which made her one of the first women to theorize energy transfer. Really? Energy transfer, just a Renaissance woman in
That's
France.
Crazy.
Yeah. We think of Newton, right? We don't think of the woman that's sitting in her castle, right? And then another really great one that I wanted to bring up was from the 1800s to the present. There's a couple that I really want to talk about here, because there's some that everybody knows about that they may not know something about. But a really great one is Margaret Wilcox.
Oh, sure.
Born in 1838, died in 1912. She created the first patent in HVAC in 1893 for a carriage or car heating system that diverted energy heat into the cabin. So we're talking 1893 and we're talking about reheat, right? We're talking about harnessing reheat. That's crazy. And it's not a man that's sitting there, you know, how can we use these motors and steel? No, it's a woman that is cold in her carriage. So she writes this incredible patent. Moving forward from her, we have Mary Engle Pennington and Margaret Ingalls, right? Two of my absolute favorites. These are two of my I would say historical mentors, right? I want to be just like these women. So Margaret Ingle Pennington obviously was a chemist and a refrigeration engineer. Pennington began her scientific training in the 1890s. So women were not supposed to be in STEM in the 1890s.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
We're clear. By 1895, she was already experimenting with food preservation through cooling. And later, into the 1920s, she became the refrigeration pioneer of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, designing refrigerated rail cars.
Amazing. Isn't that crazy?
Refrigerated rail cars in your... And at this time, I mean, this woman was in her 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yep. It really sparked the entire movement of us, you know, moving and migrating to the West. A lot of people don't realize that refrigeration is what allowed us to be able to move to the West. And she was very fundamental in those early refrigerated boxcars.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we couldn't have moved any of our humans to the West, but we definitely couldn't have moved any supplies to the West without refrigeration. We would have starved to death. And many did, because they weren't able to utilize it, right? They didn't have the money. And then Margaret Ingalls, of course, anybody who doesn't know Margaret Ingalls, go and research her, please, because she's just an absolutely fantastic character in this world of HVAC that we have. She was born in 1892. She died in 1971. So when we think of the 1800s, we think it was a really, really long time ago. And it really wasn't. This woman died in 1971. And through her HVAC engineering breakthroughs, she was able to move a lot more women into the STEM field. So she was unique in her situation where she was not afraid of anything, or seemingly wasn't. She was very brave. And what she did was she brought a whole lot of other women into this so that she wouldn't be the only one. And I've really modeled HVHX Coalition after Margaret Ingalls because of that. I think that having that female community really matters, especially in male dominated trades, but also men need that too. Men need that community with women as well. So she symbolizes how women's access to formal engineering education at the century's end prepared to shape the modern HVAC world. So if without Margaret Ingalls going to school for engineering, it would probably have been a lot harder when I got in to have done the same.
I agree.
And now I want to lead into one of the absolute legendary women in HVAC, Miss Alice Parker. There's a lot more about Alice Parker than people know. So she invented, in 1919, she invented patent number US1325907A. And what that is the original patent for the gas-powered furnace. Her patent didn't work. Let me just start by saying that. Her patent didn't work how we need it to now. It didn't work to kind of trigger that modern furnace that we have today, but it was the first working patent. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And it's awesome. If you haven't seen the pictures, you guys go look it up, because it absolutely would work, but it works in a way that you would teach about, not necessarily that right. You would use. But by the use of natural gas, we were using coal and wood back then. I mean, look at the Titanic sunk, you know, back in the early 1900s. We were using coal and wood absolutely. Back then, not natural gas. And then, so her central furnace system provided heat throughout the entire home and not just one room. That's another really important thing. So every wood or coal appliance would heat one space, and it was really hard to get it to heat other spaces, but this patent actually did heat more than one room, which is pretty great. And she was one of the first to design suggested separate ducts to direct warm air to different areas. Not exactly in the best way we could have designed.
But still, it's the thought process, really, you know, maintaining more comfort absolutely. Within the home. That's really what it came down to.
Yeah, and it's honestly, when I read about Alice Parker, it makes me really wonder how many other people thought of that before, but maybe didn't have the bravery to say to develop this is something we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the other thing about Alice Parker is completely non-related to HVAC, but it's so interesting. When we think of Alice Parker, we think of this iconic picture of the woman with the curly pinned back hair, and she's kind of sideways looking at the camera. And that picture, that iconic picture, is not Alice Parker.
Really?
That's crazy. It's not Alice Parker. Alice Parker was an African-American woman. And so, though we know that, men want to showcase African-American women, especially not in STEM, especially not with such a grandiose innovation. So they actually took one of her neighbors, a picture of one of her neighbors, a white woman, and they showcased it. They put this in textbooks. They put this picture of this other woman that kind of resembled Alice Parker, if she were white, in textbooks. They put it everywhere. And it was not until one of her descendants, one of her family members, came out and said, they were, Alice Parker was winning an award. I believe she was winning like one of her many awards, right? But it was, you know, long post-mortem. She had been dead for decades at the time. And her family member said, that is not Alice Parker. Stop using that picture. This is my grandmother or great-grandmother, whatever it was. And so now the picture of the real Alice Parker, they've kind of positioned it in that same way. So you can line them up side by side, which I did do in my presentation, but we're not showing that today. But yeah, she's very much an African American woman who was kind of stripped of her culture in order to innovate. So not only was she a minority as far as her gender, as far as her race, but also was just completely oppressed by the entire United States over this. And to have her make such strides in such a crazy male-dominated field at the time, and then have her entire identity stripped from her other than her name, that is something that I think that was the trigger, right? To say, maybe as a whole, as a community, as a society, we have to just let things be things, the things that they are. And because of that, because of, you know, not only Alice Parker making this invention, but also her descendants saying, no, we're not going to allow this picture to be circulated anymore. This is the real Alice Parker. That really paved the way for other African-American women to say, hey, maybe somebody will stand up for me. And if we look back in history, there are probably thousands more heating and air inventions that were invented by directly by women. Yep. But what happened is when they documented those in, you know, the scientific magazines and in the innovative newspapers and all these things, it would just say this man invented it,
right,
along with Mrs. And it wouldn't leave a name. This was the way that they got around this. If a woman invented something, they would say her husband and Mrs. came up with this idea. And over years and years and years and years, the man's name was dominant, right? It was just spread everywhere like wildfire. And the Mrs. was never printed to begin with. So lots of people didn't know who was married to that man, let alone
who the actual person was,
who invented it. So if we look back in history, there's probably a whole lot more women in HVAC stories we could tell. But for now, this is kind of what we have. And I did want to just kind of bring it to the present, Cliff, because that's what we don't talk about, right? We don't talk about women in HVAC now. And that's a catch-22, because we're also always talking about women in HVAC now. When we talk about men in HVAC, we're talking about specific men. What are they doing? What is, you know, their accomplishments? What is their roster of things that they've done in the industry? When we talk about women in HVAC, we say those words, women in HVAC. And we don't typically single one out.
Individualize.
For her accomplishments. Right, exactly. And so I try to do that every time I do one of these. So
good for you.
Getting to kind of, I guess, like the 2000s, we'll say, okay?
Yep.
So one really, and I mean, there are hundreds of these women that I could single out, but we'd be here all day, and we've got, you know, 10 more minutes. So we've got Nora Magero from Kenya. This is one of my favorite stories. She is a woman from Kenya, and she grew up in a very poor village and realized that there was a need. And the need was for portable solar-powered refrigerators in order traipse vaccines around the African, absolutely, you know, landscape. And so she decides, I'm going to work with whatever foundations I can. I'm going to work with whoever will give me the time of day, because she doesn't have a soapbox to stand on, right? So she just has to take help from wherever she can. And what she ended up doing was she invented the Vaxabox. And the Vaxabox is now widely used.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By almost every, I mean, almost every single vaccination company and the ones that distribute them to Africa all use these Vaxaboxes now.
Sure.
But they're solar powered. They're a solar powered refrigerator. So my question is, someday will Nora's invention be translated to the home? And will we no longer need energy other than the sun to run our HVAC units? And who knows? Because look at what Alice Parker did, right?
Who knows?
And then another one of note is Miss Amy O'Grady, right? From the USA, the executive director of Women in HVACR. Yep. Don't quote me on this, but I believe that Amy was also the first full-time executive director of Women in HVACR.
Nice.
Yeah, I believe I read that as well. So she leads the national initiatives, obviously, in membership, education, workforce development to increase female representation in the HVAC trades. She is an icon. I do not know her personally, but she is one of the women that I very much look up to today in the present day. And then we have Holly Paper. Holly Paper is from the USA. She was appointed in 2024 as the first female president of Trane's commercial HVAC division. And she is a legend. Man, is she a legend. Outspoken, very, very strong leadership within this woman. And I think that she doesn't necessarily have the community where she's at, because she's one of the only, right, one of the only presidents of a commercial HVAC division at a major manufacturer that's a woman. But I think she's really awesome. And the impact that she's made is pioneering female leadership in one of the largest HVAC corporations in the US. Also, she serves on one of the boards, on a lot of the boards, and one of them is AHRI. So she's a very smart, very intelligent woman that really deeply cares passionately about HVAC. And I just thought that that was, those were a couple of women that really should be shared and talked about.
And social influencer Jennifer Manzo. How can you forget about that? I mean, this is all possible because you're out here spreading the good word in society. And we're grateful to have you.
Thanks, Cliff. There's lots of them. And it's really funny because I was looking on ChatGPT for some that I may not have known about. And I popped up on ChatGPT.
As you should.
I just was like, are you kidding me? But yeah, influencers, right? So now it's always been get our foot in the door, right? That is, if you look at everything I've just said, it's always been get the female foot in the proverbial HVAC door. And now we're here. And not only are we here, but we're widely accepted. I mean, customers, yeah, we might have a little trouble with them here and there, but as a whole, and when I say I had a terrible entrance into HVAC being a female because of my gender, but once I got here and really reached out for community, I've received nothing but absolute acceptance and love and dedication and encouragement. And I think, now the point is not getting in the door. Now is getting everybody through that door, holding it wide open and getting as many young females as possible, even not young females. If you like working with your hands, come and join the HVAC trade. Have you heard about our Lord and Savior HVAC? Because you will make good money, you will have great benefits, and you will leave something for your children that maybe you wouldn't have been able to before. I know I wouldn't have. And then on top of that, now we have this crazy thing called the internet. Right now, we're not just standing on that soapbox or relying on these magazines to, you know, take the misses off of our name. We're not relying on the scientific papers to say that we actually are worth something. Now we have the internet that says every single one of us, as long as we can work together, we can do this trade, we can make money, and we can further this trade, right? We can progress this trade into the industrial beast that it needs to be. So women like Jess Bannister, right? HVAC Jess. She is dragging probably tens of women in every week, I would say, just based on her content alone. I know I was one of them. So I can honestly say that she is doing a killer job. She's Canadian. She's part of Canadian Women in HVACR. She's a great content creator. She's an apprentice. She works for her dad's company. She's out there in the field every day. She's amazing. And then we have, you know, obviously Renee from ESCO. In the education space. Without Renee, and Renee is going to like, she's going to be like, that's it.
She's like, you're talking about me in a podcast? What are you doing? I can't say enough about Renee.
Without Renee, would I have dared to teach at ESCO last year? Probably not. Would I have said, you know, I could reach a level of in the education space that I have reached without Renee having already done it? Probably not. That's about that representation. When women see other women doing great things, we want to join in, right? So yeah. I wanted to bring a little bit of the female razzle dazzle to the show, but also to thank ESCO for their absolute inclusion of women. I mean, there is really no bigger entity including women in the HVAC space right now. So thank you guys.
We're so grateful for it. And you know, you're right. Like I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Renee. Honestly, my career would not be doing what it is doing if it wasn't for Renee. It was her idea for me to join the team and to do social awareness for ESCO and to do the live show and podcast. I mean, it is literally, it is the brains behind what we're doing. And so, I am so glad that you spent some time with us diving into the history as well as the present with women and HVACR and just the trades in general. And I look forward to a lot of these conversations. I hope it opens people's eyes a little bit and went, man, I guess I've been missing this boat for a long time. And I'm glad that I know a little bit more now.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time to hang out, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Of course. Thanks, Cliff.